Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be finishing Parashas Pekudei and Sefer Shmos as a whole. This is the seventh Aliyah, and it is the topic of the cloud descending. We now hear how Moshe Rabbeinu completes the Chatzer, the courtyard of the Mishkan, and he places all the different items that belong in the Chatzer, that's the Kiyar and the Mizbeach, are placed in their correct and requisite places. And at this point in time, everything is completed. Vayachal, Moshe, Esam Lacha, Moshe Rabbeinu completes the work. Very beautiful, reminiscent of Vayachul Hashem Vayavaretz, when Hashem created the creation. At which point, we now hear about the Elnon, the cloud which now descends upon the Mishkan, and the Kavod Hashem, the honor of God, which fills this Mishkan, to the degree that Vayachal Moshe Levoy El Ol Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu is not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud is there, and Hashem is filling it. When the cloud would leave, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael would travel, and if the cloud would not lift, then they would not travel, and they would wait until it would go. And the last pasuk in this part of the Torah is, Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam, the cloud of Hashem is on the Mishkan during the day, ve'esh tia laila bo, and the fire would be at night on it, le'enei kol beis Yisrael v'chol ma'aseihem, in the eyes of all Israel, the house of Israel, in all of their journeys. Very beautiful description. This aliyah of 20 psukim this aliyah runs from Perek Mem, Pasuk Chavches, to Pasuk Lamed Ches, which is 11 psukim in total. Let's take a look at some basic points to ponder. First point is, why is it that it's critical that the book of Shmos ends with this? So a few interesting points that are worthwhile noting, and that is, if you take a look at the introduction of the Ramban, of Nachmanides, to this Sefer, he points out that the book of Shmos is the notion of Sefer HaGeula, the book of redemption. You may say to yourself, wait a second, isn't redemption over after the first four parshas? There's Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, that's when they get out and they leave Egypt. So you say, well, maybe redemption is also getting the Torah. So you have Yisra, maybe Mishpatim. But what are the last five parshas have to do with redemption? Why is Truma Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, and Pekudei? What do they have to do with the redemption of Israel? And the answer, says the Ramban, is because they are not fully redeemed until, he says, and this is his own language, Eineno Nishlam, it is not complete, Ad Yom Shuvam El Mekomam, till they return to their place, Vel Malas Avosam Yashuvu, until they return to the lofty heights of their parents. And what is that? What does that mean? He said, Shoyos Soid Eloika Alei Olehem, that they were the forefathers, the patriarchs, and matriarchs, had the divine presence resting upon their personal particular tents. They were the chariot, they were the expression, the vehicle of God in this world. Until Israel as a collective were to reach this, that would not be the full redemption. That is what is happening over here. And that's why perhaps it's so important to end on this note as well. You also see that this is also the notion of them being called base Israel, the house of Israel. It should not be lost upon us that they've just created the base, Elohim, the house of God. They are now called the house of Israel. They are now being established as a nation, not just individuals, not just tribes. Another question to think about over here is, what is the significance of Moshe not being able to enter the cloud over here? So Rashi points out, well, there's actually a little bit of a contradiction in Pesukim, because the one Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he would come into the Oel Moed, he could come, and the other Pasuk here says that he can't go into the tent of meeting. So Rashi brings a third Pasuk, which helps differentiate, and that is, Kishachan Olav Anon. That means to say that when the cloud was there, he could not enter. When the cloud was gone, he could enter. So it depended. But let's dig this a little deeper. How does this really work? So it's worthwhile noting that there's a very beautiful suggestion given by Rabbi Foreman, who makes the following very interesting and canny observation. He says, if you look at the Begadol in general, the structure of the parishes of Truma Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei, you'll notice that they form a general chiastic structure, which is a reflected butterfly pattern, A, B, C, B, A. So how does that work? On either sides, Truma Tetzaveh and Vayakel and Pekudei describe the making of the Mishkan and the Big Day HaKodesh. Then the Big Day Kohuna. Then at the if you move inwards, at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, you have the Mitzvah of Shabbos. And at the beginning of Vayakel, on the other end of Kisisa, you have the Mitzvah of Shabbos. In between them, you have the Chet HaEgel. So essentially the pattern goes, Mishkan, Shabbos, then the Sin of the Egel, Shabbos, Sin, Mishkan again. Okay, so it's A, B, C, B, A. That's the pattern. But Rav Forman also noticed that just after Shabbos and just before Shabbos, at the end, at the beginning of Parshat Kisitsa and the beginning of Vayakel, is also a word which occurs only two times in all of Shmos. It's the same five letters and it appears in two different permutations. The one is Vayikahel. The nation gathered to sin. They gathered to against Aaron to say we need a God. That word is used again in the same five letters, just in a different permutation, just before the Shabbos command in Vayakel, which is Vayakhel. That's why the parasha is called Vayakel, and he gathered. So taking that, we'll call mob mentality, and bringing them together to do something creative. So there's obviously this pattern, but it's more than that. What you see over here is a very beautiful thing. Let's think about the Sinai experience. So Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Har Sinai. At that point in time, he was able to enter into the cloud. Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, and the Pasuk very clearly says that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to enter the cloud of Hashem. Which means now at the end, when they're able to construct the Mishkan, which is their direction of being able to gain atonement, it seems to be that it is even more a powerful expression of God at the end of the experience than even at the beginning of the experience. The Mishkan represents a higher expression of the imminence of God than even Har Sinai in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu can't just enter when he wants to. And therefore, the idea would be is that a people who had just committed the greatest sin ever imaginable and yet becomes the resting place of God's presence in an encounter of such intensity that it even dwarfs the experience of Sinai. That means to say that this idea of the golden calf being atoned for finally, the Mishkan is given extra credence by the fact that the Mishkan is seen as a more intense expression of Hashem's presence, so much so that Moshe Rabbeinu can't even enter like he was able to enter on Har Sinai. What a powerful way of understanding the general flow of the Book of Shemos. Finally, one last point. You'll notice at the end of every parasha, there is a little note, usually most Chumashim, which describes how many psukim there are in that parasha, and then it will say as well, a siman. A siman is a mnemonic, which is a word which has the same number of has the numeric value of that parasha. And by remembering that word, that mnemonic, you'll be able to remember how many words there are, how many psukim, how many verses there are in that parasha. And that's in all the parashas, except Parashas Bekudei does not have one. Why is it that Parashas Bekudei does not have one? So it is interesting that there is a suggestion which is made, which is I heard once from Rabbi Gladstein a number of years ago. That if you look in the old Chumashim, it used to say, Bli Kol Siman. And that is translated as, without any siman, without any mnemonic. Because, here's the interesting thing, Bli Kol, the words without any, is actually the numeric value of the number of verses of Psukim in our Parsha, which is 92. There are 92 Psukim in Parshas Pekudei. But over time, it was probably a printer's error in which the printer saw the word Bli Kol Siman, which means without any mnemonic, without any sign. And they completely left it out, thinking, well, we don't need to print that there's no sign. We'll just leave out that there's no sign without realizing that the word Bli Kol itself is the sign. Let's dig it deeper. Isn't it interesting, as we've been discussing, that Pekudei is the expression of the greatest amount of obedience over creativity? The golden calf representing too much creativity, and the Mishkan representing an overexpression of obedience and very precise work. And therefore, isn't it interesting that the real mnemonic for Parshas Bekudei is Bli Kol, without anything, without so much of a sense of self, without so much of a sense of our own ideas, our own sensitivities and artistry. No, this is all dedicated to God. That's a very powerful perspective and a very fitting sign, a sign which could be overlooked because of the very nature of the sign itself. With this, we conclude Parshas Bekudei in the Book of Shmos. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak.